The Fan on Demand. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to Baseball Central for Thursday, April 10th, brought to you by Home Hardware. This is Jeff Blair, Joe Siddle to my left. You might, should be wearing a catcher's mask today for this edition. We got Joe Siddle, got John Gibbons, former major league catcher, now manager of the Blue Jays, and Deonner Navarro.
Brought all the smart guys in today. It's going to be the best show ever.
This is the highest baseball IQ.
Bar none.
You'll ever have on a baseball. On a baseball show. I'll just try not to drag it down. We got three catchers. Although I did look after because we are going to talk to Deonner Navarro after that stolen base last night, and I was looking up your stolen base totals, and the majors there weren't any, but you had a couple of years with eight steals in the minors.
I had trouble stealing first base, Jeff. Got to get on base.
But I figured you'd, you know, as you say, I figured you'd caboose one on the back end or something like that. But
you know, I was the master of the delay steal. My manager for several years in the minor leagues was Mike Quadi, and he loved it. And in the minor leagues, you can get away with that because the younger kids, they don't pay attention. You catch catchers napping. So I was able to sneak a few there probably.
How many do you think Gibby stole in his career?
I bet he doesn't know because when you asked me, I didn't know. No. Not something we take a whole lot of pride in.
No. But I mean, as I said, that was one of the highlights from the 7-3 win yesterday. Joe, Brandon Morrow touching 97, 98 early. That start, as Pat Tabler said earlier today, it's one of those starts when you watch enough baseball, you four or five batters in, you look at it and you go, I mean, I wonder if we're seeing one of those 17 strikeout nights or something like that. He looked really good until he ran out of steam.
Yeah, it looked like that's what it was going to be. He was just spectacular last night. He was much sharper than he was in Tampa against the Rays last week, and the velocity, I think, was up. We've been arguing that the gun was a little bit low on the stadium scoreboard in Tampa, but he was bringing it last night, and what amazed me about what Brandon Morrow did last night is he was locating the baseball, and that's what I mean when he was much sharper than his previous outing. He was hitting spots at 97 at times. It was ridiculous, and then he mixed in that slider and split, and when you can do that, when you've got stuff like that, and now you start locating it, those are special nights.
It's funny because, we'll ask John Gibbons this. I mean, one of his reasons behind moving R.A. Dickey into the start tonight and letting Dustin McGowan have the start against Baltimore was he wanted to, as he said, both Brandon and Dustin. I mean, we're watching them. He said those were his words. We're watching them. And now he looks like an even more of a genius because he's got R.A. going to close out a series, possibly sweep. Pretty good managerial decision.
I think last night was a huge night, and I said it on the broadcast before the game started with Jerry. Last night was a huge night because you have Brandon Morrow, who I said coming out of spring training is going to be the key cog in this machine because I expect Burley and Dickey to do their thing, and we all know what that thing is. It's give yourselves a chance to win every night that they're on the mound. But I think Brandon Morrow is the key cog because he's filthy. He can be a number one, and if he keeps pitching like last night, he will be the number one. And then Hutch and McGowan, both coming from injuries, not sure what you're going to get. I'm guessing and hoping that Drew Hutchison's going to just emerge and he'll be the great story. Hopefully we're talking about Drew Hutchison in September as what a wonderful story the way he came on. And then Dustin McGowan, I think he'll be okay. He's going to get through this. But key cog is Brandon Morrow and what he did last night. The setup was perfect. You've got a weak team. You've got a team that's not swinging it right now. And he's got one start under his belt where he wasn't real sharp. Mm-hmm. Got his feet wet in Tampa. Great. So it's a perfect opportunity for that to happen last night. And it did. That's the important thing. It did. Brandon Morrow took advantage of that.
And Brandon Morrow is the guy that takes this rotation from mediocre to stable. I mean, I don't think you can put it any other way.
It does stabilize it, and I really believe Drew Hutchison's going to be just fine. I like Drew Hutchison a lot. I like the way he pitches. I like his demeanor out there. And if Dustin McGowan can keep going, which there's another guy with great stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of ifs. If those things come to be, there's a chance for some good things to happen.
It's Joe Siddle and Jeff Blair in Baseball Central. John Gibbons and Deonner Navarro will join us later on in the show. Brett Laurie went deep last night. I'm not one of these people. I don't look at I don't call it a slump early in the season when you're not doing well. I prefer calling it a funk or something like that. It's just one of those things that happens. But I think you could tell by Brett's reaction when he went back to the dugout. That was a tonic in a lot of ways for Brett Laurie, wasn't it?
I think he just took a 50-pound weight off his shoulders. The problem with it, funk, slump, call it what you want, he's just not swinging it well right now. And when you're not swinging it well like Brett Laurie is right now, nothing's right. Your timing is off. You feel like you can't hit. I'm sure he feels like a third grader right now that's never played baseball before. That's what it's like as a hitter when you're struggling. And you really start questioning your abilities. What am I doing? And you're working on a million things in the cage, and I'm sure he's going at it hard with sights. And he'll figure it out. This guy's hit, and I think everybody knows he can hit. He's just going through a little funk, just like you said right now. It'll happen. By no means is it time to panic. It's a very long season, and he'll just keep doing what he's doing. Sometimes that kind of thing last night, when he hits a hanging slider out of the park, makes you feel pretty good about yourself. So maybe that confidence and feeling good about himself can jettison him right now and get him rolling.
Joe, it's early in the season, but after watching this team enough, I'm beginning to wonder if we're getting close to the point where we can say that this team's defense, far from being something that we were looking at as a possible weakness, I wonder if we're getting almost to the point where we can say this team's defense is a strength.
Absolutely.
Because they play a much cleaner game this year. From the get-go, they've played a much cleaner game this year than they did last year.
Absolutely. And if you think about the couple errors they made in that Tampa game, well, that was just Jeremy Jeffress, a pitcher,
grabbing
a ball he shouldn't have, throwing it away, and then Jose comes up and fires the ball to third, and Ryan just tried to make a great pick on it. So I wouldn't.
Felipe used to say all the time, the ball's in play, too much bad things happen.
Absolutely. But the defense they've been playing, and it hasn't just been making all the plays. It's one thing to make all the plays, because you have to make all the routine plays, which they've done. But they've gone way beyond that, and Colby's played it. And I'm talking to a man.
Sure.
Melky Cabrera's done good things in left field. Jose has. Colby has. Go around the entire infield.
Jonathan
the catcher.
He has.
Everybody on the field has made great plays, not just the routine. They've made great plays at some point. It's been a really good start, and if they keep doing that, which I think they're very capable of, there's no reason to believe it's not going to be that way. It's a great defensive team, and when you have a strength like that behind your pitchers, let me tell you, there's nobody on the field besides those five starters and your bullpen guys that appreciate that defense.
I think one of the other things we saw last night too, and I know a couple of callers and a couple of emailers pointed this out to me in my show, Meiser's tourists may be in the process of helping John Gibbons answer a couple of questions about that number two spot right now, certainly. And he's looking like, and I always tell people, Joe, one thing about Meiser's tourists, did not have a good season last year, but this is a guy who didn't have a position with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. You could still get 400 plate appearances from Mike Socha, who, as you well know, Mike Socha doesn't give you, you've got to earn playing opportunities with him. That, to me, says a lot about Meiser's tourists.
Well, when I saw the lineup yesterday and saw Meiser's tourists in the two hole, I loved that. I really did. And I thought it'll be interesting to see how things pan out and look how the game went. You're moving a guy with a hot hand, first of all. I mean, Meiser's tourists got to be in the lineup every day right now, bar none. Put him at second base. Do what you want with Diaz and Goins at short, but Meiser's tourists is in the lineup, and wow, is that ever nice in the two hole. Scored a couple times, ignited some things. And what about the defense he's playing? Oh, by the way, you know, not expected from him, but he's jumping on the defensive bandwagon. And just like hitting is contagious, defense can be too. There's no bigger momentum turner than making a great play in the field, coming in the dugout, everybody's high five, and it gets the morale up. Everybody gets pumped in around one another. And that's the kind of stuff that you just keep building right now. You're seeing that. And this is a great series for this to happen. Now they're going to have to go do it against some tougher teams in Baltimore and Cleveland, Minnesota. But those are good things. And when you win ball games, that stuff kind of manifests even more. It's a real good sign.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that they're going to Baltimore, Cleveland, Minnesota. A couple of those cities, the weather could be chilly, the very least. You're playing outdoors. It'll be a good test. But you know, last year at this time, This is a team that in its home stand, I mean, it started the year by throwing the ball around. Ari Dickey, I mean, J.P. Arencibi couldn't handle his pitches. Emilio Bonifacio, I think, made two or three errors in his first game. I know that the series against Boston was just an endless, it was like a litany of errors. And they never really recovered from that. It was almost as if they were on the back foot from the get-go. And when they leave here to go on the road, this isn't going to be a team that's on the back heel, I don't think.
No, they're feeling really good about themselves right now. And when you're pitching the way they are, you get a performance like that, and hopefully for Morrow last night, and even Burley the other night, he didn't have his best stuff. But you know what? There's a veteran out there, a crafty veteran, that just battled his tail off and did what he had to do, gave up one run, kept his team in the game into the sixth inning. to me. That's not a, quote, quality start, mm-hmm. but that's a pretty good day for a guy that doesn't have his best stuff. And I like to credit the catcher there. That's why I like to talk to Deonner Navarro some more. I talk to that guy every day. I love talking to Deonner because he's got a great perspective, and I think he helped Burley through that game.
I think he did. Did you talk? Were you able to talk to him yesterday about the play at the plate?
Absolutely.
How did he describe that to you, about what he did with his foot in particular?
Let me preface it by saying this. I talked to the catchers in spring training, Deonner Navarro especially, and I asked him, with this new rule, are you thinking about it on plays at the plate? He said, I'm not even going to think about it. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to do what I always do. If they call me on it, oh well. He took that attitude. So I had to ask him, because after watching that replay, it looked like he brilliantly crafted himself around and got out. He said, nope. So he didn't give himself credit. He said he just caught the ball because he had to go get it. It was a short hop. Made the play, put the tag on him. He said, wasn't even thinking about the new rule.
And it's interesting, by the way, both Bo Porter, the Astros manager, and John Gibbons, of course, the Blue Jays manager, have said that there seems to be an indication now that the league, that the commissioner's office, that Joe Torre, that they're looking a little more closely at this rule after a couple of plays. And we'll talk to John about that, because, and we talked about it yesterday, I don't think you ever want a rule, Joe, to get in the way of what players do instinctively. And a lot of the stuff you do behind the plate, you know this, you caught, a lot of the stuff you do behind the plate when it involves a play in the base pass, it's instinctive, it's second nature stuff. And you can't start penalizing guys for doing second nature.
No, that was my biggest problem with the rule in general, is you cannot alter a catcher in the heat of the game of thinking about where I can go and where I can't go and what I can do and what I can't do. There's just no way. But I talked to Sal Butera yesterday about this extensively, and he brought up two very good points. He said, one, he thinks things are working. He said, one, mm-hmm. it's going to be tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, one, we haven't had a collision. Nobody's been hurt.
That's true.
And he said, two, we haven't had a catcher called yet for blocking the plate.
Interesting.
So I think until that happens, the first time a catcher gets called for blocking the plate and the runner is deemed safe, I think we're going to have some fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when this whole thing's going to come to a head. And they're supposed to make some tweaks this week. I think a statement is going to come out this week. The rule itself, they're talking about, and I think this was brought up by Bo Porter with this conversation with Torre or La Russa, was that a ball from the outfield is really what they thought about making this rule. Yeah. They didn't consider a throw from the infield, or in this case the other night, a pitcher that was about a 10-foot throw. And the difference being a catcher has less time to set up. And now, I don't know, I still have an issue with that too, because I think even on that short, quick play like that, the ball's hit. As a catcher, you immediately go mm-hmm. right to the front of the plate. So I don't really know what the difference is going to be with that. Anyway, something's going to come out. It's going to get tweaked. There's going to be something in writing to clarify things, even though I think it's still going to be clear as mud.
Mm-hmm.
And until something happens, such as a catcher getting called and accused for blocking the plate and a runner deemed safe, I think things are going to be just kind of what they're doing right now. It's working.
We haven't seen a collision. And my other concern about this was, and I'd had in spring training, a couple of scouts, one scout in particular, a former catcher, say his concern was, okay, you're going to do away with collisions, but you are in some ways leaving yourself more open to the possibility of a shoulder injury, you know, catcher reaching behind to make a tag, or a leg injury because the guy's not completely set comfortably. You're off balance and you're kind of in between. And that was one of his concerns, is he said, you may not see the concussion-inducing slam of the shoulder, but you could see a lot of pulls or a lot of sort of those aggravating injuries result from it.
And you know what nobody has, I haven't heard, except for one, and you know my good friend F.P. Santangelo with the Washington Nationals. We had a long conversation about this. And the key point he brought up was, that we discussed, was nobody's thought about the runner yet. Has anybody considered the runner and the indecisiveness and indecision he has coming in? Should I slide over here? Should I slide over there? And now we know what happens when you're indecisive, when you're sliding into any base, is mm-hmm. that's how you break ankles.
Jose Reyes last year.
Exactly. So now if a catcher's moving and the catcher's thinking, I can't block the plate, and the runner sees where he is, so he adjusts. I don't like that indecision right there. That's how people get hurt too. And nobody's talked about the runner in any, I haven't heard much about mm-hmm. the runner in any of this.
You know what? Let's talk to the skipper right now. Let's find out from John Gibbons if he's heard anything further. I know John talked to
wrong guy.
Right. At least let me introduce you.
Okay.
And say hello. And congratulate you on your genius move with R.A. Dickey, by the way.
What move? What do you mean? Pitch him tonight?
Yeah. You knew you were going to be setting yourself up for sweep. I think that was genius.
I think it's common sense, wasn't it?
I think it was. Some people saw a conspiracy there, but I'm not one of them. You know that.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you about, we'll get to last night's game and Brandon Moore, and there's a lot to talk about, obviously Donner Navarro as well. But I wanted to ask you about, Joe and I were talking about the play at the play at the plate, the new rules about blocking the plate. Both you and Bo Porter said yesterday, you're under the impression that it's going to be tweaked a bit this week, correct?
Yeah, from what I understand, you know, Bo talked to Tony La Russa, I guess, the other night after that play happened. You know, the play, Cecil made the nice play at the plate on a little chop ball. And they were talking about maybe tweaking a little bit for, you know, infield in, runner on third base there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the runner doesn't quite have the head of steam going that he would if he's coming trying to score from second base. And the catcher doesn't have as much time to adjust on, say, a throw from the outfield. So I haven't heard anything from anybody in particular, but, you know, that was mentioned to me yesterday.
Gibb, do you think anything's going to change with this? This is obviously a new rule that everybody's getting used to. And you know your catchers are, I think catchers around the league are almost a little confused. And I talked to Girardi on the weekend. He's confused. Do you think this is something that's going to stay in baseball? Let's even say this is the test run this year. After this year, do you think it's going to be thrown out the window or do you think it's going to stay?
You know, it's really hard to say, Joe, and just yet, you know, I don't think it's affected any team necessarily in a negative way. There's been some guys that have asked to, you know, look at it to see if the, you know, catcher is blocking the plate. But from my understanding, no, nothing's been overturned on a, you know, like I say, guy's definitely called out at the plate and nothing's been overturned because the guy's been blocking the plate. You know, maybe if once that happens, you might have some problems, you know, that, you know, you can't start taking runs off the board or adding runs to the board for something that, you know, it's an interpretation type thing. So, but until that happens, you know, I think it's going to work out okay. I think you're putting too much pressure on the umpires, really. I mean, they're trying to lock in on the safer out call, and, you know, now they got to watch where that guy's setting up, where the throw's coming from. Is it unintentionally taking the catcher into the path of the runner, those kind of things. That's a lot to ask of those guys. And, of course, then they'll refer to, you know, the office in New York if there's any doubts like that. But, you know, we'll see. You know, but until something controversial happens, if it costs a team a game, then there'll probably be a big uproar.
Hey, John, can you give us a bit of a status update on Steve Delabar? Now, I know that both Delabar and yourself yesterday said that, you know, there's no fracture or anything like that. I'm thinking about the line drive off the leg, but it sounds like you'll have to stay away from him today at least, will you?
Yeah, Jeff, yeah, I think so, definitely today. Probably anyway because he's been pitching a lot. But
right.
Yeah, he just took that hard shot off on the outer part of his shin, really away from the bone. But he was getting a precautionary x-ray today just to, you know, to be on the safe side. But, you know, all indications, you know, that it should be fine, you know, but of course we've said that before, things creep up, you never know. So, but all indications, he should be okay.
And you'll be getting Casey Jansen back when? Do you have any idea yet?
Well, Jeff, you know, he's, you know, he threw a side yesterday and really, really came a long way from his previous side. I mean, P. Walker, pitching coach, said, he picked it up pretty good. So what he'll do, he'll throw another side probably tomorrow, and then we'll kind of gauge where he's at, and then he'll go out on a rehab. How long that rehab will last, we're not sure. But he's making pretty good progress. He made a big jump from, you know, two sides ago to yesterday, that's for sure.
Gibb, how about Neil Wagner last night? Is that what you're expecting from him? He was outstanding.
Yeah, Joe, you know what? He should have been on the team coming out of spring training, but he got caught in the numbers game with the – and we had so many guys out of options, so we were kind of forced to do that. But in the back of our mind, we knew if we got a jam or, you know, we needed to add something, you know, to not just to fill a spot, but to, you know, help us win some games late, you know, he would be the guy. And, you know, of course, last night he came in two strong innings. You know, this Houston team, we won the last two games, but, you know, they've been giving us a run for our money. It hasn't been easy games. You know, they just, you know, we take a lead and they peck right back. So it was we definitely, you know, we played in the amount of games we've played so far, you know, we've been using our late inning relievers quite a bit. You know, we haven't had that blowout where we give everybody a break. So, you know, it kind of caught up with a little bit. And so bringing up Wagner and getting two innings at him last night was huge.
John Gibbons joining Joe Siddle and Jeff Blair on Baseball Central, brought to you by Home Hardware. The Jays and Astros will wrap up their series tonight at the Rogers Center. We'll have the game at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John, Brandon Morrow, both Pat Tabler and Joe were making the point earlier that watching Brandon Morrow early in last night's game, and we've all seen games where you start to let your mind go a bit and you go, wow, could we be seeing one of those sort of, you know, once in a season games? He just looked so sharp. A couple of questions for you. One, what was the difference last night? Was it the slider that made that much of a difference? And two, what are kind of the red flags for you with Brandon Morrow early in the game?
Well, Jeff, you know what? It was one of those nights. I mean, that velocity was high. You know, I mean, he was popping it really good. And I mean, he'll have games like that where he's throwing in the high 90s, and then very few guys can do that. You know, so that's one thing you look for. His command of his breaking ball, like you said, is very big. You know, if that's on, I tell you what, he's got a chance to dominate that particular game. So, but you know, those things kind of fluctuate. Not, I mean, just like with everybody else. But he's a special guy when it's all there. You know, when he's got everything working that night. I mean, he's the kind of guy that can throw a no hitter at you. So, but you know, you look a little bit at velocity, see how that's doing. It doesn't mean he can't win with the other stuff. He can still be very good. But he's got that special arm. But you can usually tell that in the first inning what his velocity is going to be that night. And of course, you know, he's like anybody. You know, if you can throw a breaking ball over the plate when you need to, and when you're behind in the count, you got a chance to be a big winner. You know, very few guys can do that, or maybe not enough guys can do that. But the really good ones, that's what they do.
Gib, I noticed. I thought the gun was a little bit slow in Tampa, but when Brandon came out last night and we saw the 96 and 70 touch 98. I disregard that a little bit, and you let me know if you agree with this, or you and Pete Walker, is because I look at the pitch, I look at the swings, and he clearly was blowing stuff by people. Is that what you kind of gauge by, too, looking at the swings of the hitters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, if he's throwing that hard, they're not going to hit him. You know, I remember his first start at home last year. I think it was second night of the season. I mean, he was doing the same thing. And then, you know, but of course, I mean, you could throw as hard as you want, and then if you're not throwing in the zone or somewhere near the zone, it's going to be a tough go for you anyway, though. So, you know, when he's on, I mean, he can shut down the best hitting lineups in baseball, and he's got a chance for no hitter those shutout type games. The key is that we get some consistency at him with that, and you know, the big thing this year so far is he's been healthy. You know, he's been banged up a little bit the last couple of years, and so even going into spring training, regardless of the kind of spring training he had, we were looking to make sure he's healthy, and you know, he bounced back after his day that he pitched, and that's what we were looking for. So, in all indications are that's going to be that year for him. You know, he's due for a little good luck himself.
Blue Jays manager John Gibbons joins us in Baseball Central. John, Joe and I were talking a little earlier. After watching your team through 9 games, I'm beginning to wonder if we're not almost at the point where we've got to stop looking at your defense as maybe one of the strengths of this team along with the bullpen, because the crispness, the cleanness of the game compared to last year, it's 180 degrees.
Yeah, no question. But, you know, in all fairness, Jeff, and we got the guys out there we want out there, and we're supposed to have them out there. You know, early last season, you know, Brett was down. Of course, Jose went down a couple weeks in, and, you know, Melky wasn't moving good in the outfield, and, you know, we were kind of in limbo at second base, who was going to do what, and they both struggled there and that kind of thing. And then, you know, once Lori came back, I mean, it did tremendous things for us on the left side of the infield. And of course, when Jose came back, and then you know, the big guy was Goins. When he came up in September, it was like night and day how we played. We had a very, very good infield defense. It's definitely been a huge turnaround for us, and that's key. If we're going to win anything, we better play. We got to play better defense. But it's kind of the team we envisioned a little bit. So whether it's a surprise or not, this was kind of the way it was planned anyway.
Gib, is Meister as tourist earned his way into the lineup every day now? Because he's playing great defense also, but hot as heck at the plate.
Yeah, well, Joe, he can hit. I mean, he's always hit. And, you know, last year he got off to, I mean, he had a slow year last year. But, yeah, as long as he's swinging it, he'll be in that lineup. You know, he's when you look at, you know, Goins is our top second baseman, you know, really, really strong when he's in there defensively. But, you know, he's very solid, and the key thing is he can swing the bat. So we've been a little bit starved for some offense in certain areas. So, you know, while he's swinging, he'll definitely be out there.
I guess you had to like Brett Laurie. I mean, I know a home run doesn't necessarily clear everything up, but as we said, Brett Laurie sure looked like a guy who had a big weight taken off his shoulders when he came back to the dugout after the home run.
Yeah. And I guarantee you, he probably slept better last night, we'll put it that way. But, you know, Jeff, sometimes it just takes – I mean, it doesn't even take a big shot like that to get you going. You know, just something, just a little freak hit, a little blooper. Sometimes that's all you need to get going because, you know, Brett's still a young guy at this level. He's been here a couple of years, but he's still very inexperienced, and he's still trying to establish himself. And, you know, those guys, the young guys, you know, and a slow start affects them more than, you know, like Encarnacion or Batista, those guys that have been around a while and been doing it for a while. And, you know, they're humans. They see the board. They hear about it. And, you know, baseball, hitting the baseball is so tough to begin with. Then you start putting that little extra pressure on yourself. You get pressure from the outside, whatever it might be. If a number of guys in the lineup are struggling, you know, everybody's trying to pick up the weight a little bit. So all those things get magnified, and they add that little extra pressure, and it makes it that much tougher.
Deonner Navarro is going to join us in a few minutes, John, and we've seen enough games in this ballpark to know, and I know you're a proponent of this, that one of the numbers you look at in this ballpark are doubles, just by the way it plays. He's got four already this year. I believe seven or eight a year ago. I'm not going to suggest that he's going to win a Silver Slugger Award behind the plate, but you never know. Well, and you know what? John, he wouldn't be the first catcher or the first hitter to come to the Rogers Center and find a second win late in his career, would he?
No, hey, you know what? We're excited about everything he's doing. You know, the reason we signed him, you know, because he can hit. And, you know, we got good reports on how he is behind the plate. Pitchers, you know, love throwing to him. And we see everything everybody was saying about him the last couple of years. So, you know, we're very excited to have him. The key is, you know, Jeff, he'll give you a good at-bat from both sides of the plate. You know, I mean, I don't know if he's going to hit a ton of home runs, but like you said, he can hit some doubles. I think he'll hit a share of home runs simply because of the ballpark we're playing him. But he gives you a good at-bat, a good professional at-bat from both sides. And that's big in the middle of our lineup. You know, he puts the ball in play. That's another thing. You know, we got some strikeout guys in our lineup, but he's one guy that's going to move the baseball a little bit. So, and you know, even on top of that, you know, just from the way he's handled the pitching staff early on here, it's been fun to watch. So, and he's very relaxed, very confident back there. He's got good hands. And you know, when we first got him, you know, you wonder, you know, the durability thing's the big question. But he's moving good right now. We'll pick our spots for him if give him a day off just to keep him strong. But shoot, he's blocking the ball well. He's throwing. I mean, we give him a chance. You know, he's going to get guys. So I tell you what, we're very, very pleased with what we're getting.
Never mind the Silver Slugger Award, Gibby. He's going for the stolen base title now. That was a lot of fun last night. You led me right to my question. How much are you going to protect him here? You've DH'd him already. Are you going to give him those blows after day game, after night game? Or how much are you going to protect him?
Well, we'll see. Early on, I mean, the season, he's definitely going to be stronger. But, you know, we'll see how the year goes by and see how he's feeling. But, you know, I mean, it takes its toll on you back there. And but you know, while he's swinging it and while things are going good, we're going to ride him because I know he wants to prove to everybody that he is an everyday guy, that he can catch 100 plus games, and I don't see any reason why he can't. But you know, only time will tell on that.
Would you consider DH in kind of a day off, Gib? Is that a day off for a catcher?
Yeah, for a good hitting catcher, definitely. Mm. You know, because you know they want the at bats, you know, and they usually give you good at bats. And you know it's just a chance to add to those numbers a little bit. And you know, if he's one of the better hitters on the team, we'll definitely do it. Whether we'll do that tonight or not, I'm not sure. We may give Sierra a shot, see what he can do against this lefty. But you know, while he's swinging it, man, he's going to be in there.
John, it was good of you to do this today. Thanks so much. We'll see you down at the yard.
My pleasure, Jeff. Remember, I don't do anything for free, brother.
I don't know what that means. That's above my pay grade. You know that.
Okay.
See you in a bit. Take care. John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. His team going for a sweep tonight against the Houston Astros. It'll be R.A. Dickey on the mound against Dallas Keuchel for the Houston Astros. And again, the Jays will have a shot at the sweep. Then they go on the road for, I think it's 9 games or 10 games?
Nine games, 10 days, yes.
9-game, 10-day road trip to Baltimore, Cleveland, and Minnesota. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but the chance to have a chances there to have a pretty decent April for these guys, and that's what we needed to see. That was step one, I think, in the minds of a lot of people. You heard John Gibbons and Joe Siddle talk about Deonor Navarro, the work he's done behind the plate, his offensive contributions as well. I think he's been, I described him a little earlier, something of a sublime presence on this team. And Deonor Navarro will join us when Baseball Central returns with Joe Siddle and Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back to Baseball Central for Thursday, April 10th. By the way, Hockey Central will be following us, and Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, will be joining the guys. He's got to be a candidate for the Jack Adams Award this year. This might be the best coaching job he's done with the Detroit Red Wings, so he'll be joining Hockey Central as the Red Wings getting ready for the playoffs again. I mean, you live down in that neck of the woods.
It's hockey town.
Red Wings in the playoffs. They go hand in hand, don't they?
It's hockey town, especially with the Tigers playing the way they are. I would call it April in the D.
April in the D.
That's the big slogan for Fox Sports Detroit, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, they'll be in the playoffs again, and as I said, Mike Babcock will join the guys. Interesting conversation with John Gibbons as we await Deonor Navarro. Talking about the things that Navarro has brought to the team. And as John said, offensively, he's going to hit some doubles. And guys have come to this ballpark. God, Greg's on. Career revitalized here. Come to this ballpark and hit because it is a hitter-friendly. It is a hitter-friendly park. But you really do get the sense that Navarro has fit like a glove with this team. And my only concern, and you alluded to this, Joe, my only concern would be, can he handle this workload when it gets hot in the summer? Because you know what? I mean, one thing about the Rogers Center in the summer, that artificial turf, that's stinking hot. That's like a sauna.
It gets hot. And I think the first thing regarding his hitting, artificial turf is nice to hit on because now a lot of those ground balls in the infield sneak through the holes, and a lot of those balls in the gap now go to the wall. So maybe a single becomes a double. So those are good things for Deonor Navarro, and I think he's taken advantage of that already. But he's just a good hitter. He gives you a good at bat every time, and every time, right or left handed, he's a switch hitter. And I think what Deonor Navarro's done very well, most commendable for me, and I spoke to him very early in spring training about this, is learning his pitching staff. And that is the bar none number one thing, number one job he had defensively when he got here. Never mind blocking balls in the dirt and calling him all that. So first, you have to get to know your pitchers. You need to know the pitcher's makeup, and it starts with the starting rotation. But when I spoke to him one day, I said, are you mainly focusing on the potential rotation and the big league guys' bullpen? No, everybody. Because throughout the course of the season, there's going to be other bodies that are in Buffalo right now. And here we go again. We've already got guys coming up that he said he's focusing on everybody. And it's important to know what pitches they throw. And that's what you do in the bullpen. You catch it all. So physically catching the pitches and seeing what those pitches do, getting the movement from each guy. But it's more importantly to know what the number one pitch is, number two pitch. Because I know deep in a game, you get in a key situation in the eighth inning, you don't want to lose with your second best pitch. That was always my theory. So he has to know that. He has to know the mental makeup of each player, of each pitcher. And those are things that you do sitting down at each other's locker. And Deonor Navarro did a lot of that in spring training.
Is it a little easier, Joe, to do that in spring training than during the season? Because once the season starts, now all of a sudden everybody's looking at their numbers. Everybody's worried about their performance. It's not, I'm getting myself ready for the marathon. The marathon's commenced. You're looking for things. And I've got to think for a catcher, sort of those real in-depth conversations. Once the season starts, your attention's going this way, and you've got to really know your guys coming out of spring training, don't you?
Yeah, and that's why he did all that homework in spring training, because that's when he got to know everybody, which takes a lot of time. That doesn't happen in 2 or 3 days. That happens throughout 30 days in spring training or more. And then each time they pitch and you have an opportunity to catch them and seeing what their pitches are doing again, and again, understanding, having conversations, why you want to throw this pitch in this particular count. Are you able to pitch backwards a little bit? Maybe throw the breaking ball in a fastball count. So those are all things that happen in spring training. It's important that it gets done then, because once the season starts now, and they go over their hitters meetings, the pitchers and catchers get together and go over their meetings and how they're going to attack opposing hitters. That's the focus now. That's the task at hand, is dealing with the first night in town here, is dealing with the Houston Astros. And then when they fly to Baltimore tonight, tomorrow when they get to the ballpark, it's going to go over the Baltimore Orioles hitters.
Let's go over some minor league news while we wait for Deonner. We'll start with the good. Chad Jenkins in Buffalo yesterday. Four innings pitched, a hit, no earned runs. No walks, four Ks, 46 pitches, 35 strikes. Marcus Stroman, second game of the double of a doubleheader. Six innings, took the loss. Six innings, three hits, one run, five walks. A little much there, and eight Ks, 89 pitches and 55 strikes. And then Ricky Romero, his start, got the no decision. Four innings pitched, four hits, three earned runs, four walks, four Ks, one homer, 38 strikes and 81 pitches. And that's kind of and unfortunately that's kind of what we've seen from Ricky. Where do you stand as far as Marcus Stroman goes, and how soon you think he could be up here?
I don't think immediately. Yeah. I like Marcus Stroman a lot, and I said that all spring. I like his makeup especially. I think he has good stuff. I think Marcus Stroman learned in spring training real quick that you've got to locate the baseball as a pitcher, because you can throw 92, 94. You can have a good breaking ball. You can have a good changeup. And he does. He's got good stuff. And that's why I like him. And I love his makeup. When I say his makeup, talking to him at his locker, have him talk. He's very articulate. He's very bright, very intelligent guy. And I like that combination of pitcher, because I always say the catchers are the brains back there, right? Yeah. If I was catching Marcus Stroman, I'd have a lot of fun. He's a real bright guy. But what I think Marcus Stroman has to do is this right here. He needs to go to Buffalo like he is. And he needs to keep figuring it out. It's his first year in AAA. Each level he did well. Now it's AAA time. I wouldn't consider him anytime soon. He needs almost that full season down there to figure it out and become more consistent. That's what big league guys do. They're just more consistent.
Well, we told you that the baseball IQ in the show would be over the top with a catcher, Joe Siddle, former catcher Joe Siddle, former catcher John Gibbons. Now we're bringing in the current catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays to continue this this process of intellectual over-the-topness. Boy, that sounds like Mike Wilner. Deonner Navarro of the Blue Jays joins us on Baseball Central. Deonner, thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, no, thank you guys for having me.
That stolen base last night, I've got to ask you about that. The look on your face was something else. And, you know, all kidding aside, guys have come to Toronto. I mean, a lot of catchers have come here. Benji Molina came here. He had a real good offensive year. Greg Zahn came here. Real good offensive year. This can be a real hitter-friendly park for a lot of guys. Have you noticed that already, even in just a few games here?
Well, remember, I have the experience to play over here with the Rays for quite a long time. And, you know, the word around the league is that this ballpark can be really good for hitting. So, well, I just don't try to, you know, the ballpark is the ballpark. You still got to hit the ball. You still got to have a good approach. You still got to, you know, make good contact. So that's my mentality. That's the way I approach it. That's the way I wanted it to be, because I know it can get in your head and then you can get a little big and then you start popping balls up and you know, trying to get away from my game plan. And I certainly don't want to do that.
Deonner, we're all joking about the stolen base, and I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun with it after the game last night. But I made a comment that things like that you can have a lot of fun with when you're playing good baseball and winning. And that's what this team is doing right now. Do you sense that from your teammates in the clubhouse all the way through that's why you can have a lot of fun right now? And it feels like there's a real good atmosphere in that clubhouse right now.
It does feel, you know, I've been asking around, obviously, you know, coming over from another organization, you know, I come over to another country, to another set of teammates, and you know, as a catcher, my number one goal once a spring training starts is get to know my pitch.
I think we may have dropped the line there, Travis. Do you want to regain it? So there you go. Well, we do know that it was a topic of clubhouse conversation, the stolen base.
I thought somebody might put a base in his locker. I'm wondering if that's going to happen today.
Oh, DeAndre's back. Go ahead, Joe. Continue your conversation. Sorry, DeAndre, the line dropped there. But you were talking about needing to get to know the pitchers in spring training.
Yeah, that's like my number one goal when I get to a new team. And I was saying, you know, I really like to know the Strosman, the Sanchez, the guys that are every single one, because it's such a long season and you don't really know what's going to happen. So Burnley, Dickey, and the guys that I knew for sure that were going to be on the team, because you never know, and I take such a big pride on that, you know, let them, the guys know, hey.
No, we've got a real dodgy phone. Oh, there we go. Go ahead.
I'm not here to work against you, so, you know, I believe that the chemistry is a little bit different than last year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, you know, the atmosphere, the, you know, the willingness to do whatever it takes to win is different than last year, and that's really gratifying. And we just got to keep working and keep it up and you know, grind it out. It's a long season, and we just got to keep doing our thing.
DeAndre, we noticed, those of us who covered the team last year, comparing last year's team to this year, this team's playing better defense. I think defense may be one of the strengths of this team. That wasn't the case last year. From your vantage point behind the plate, what are you seeing from this team defensively?
Well, I think that was one of the focuses point during spring training. You're going to win games with defense and pitching, bro. We really got a really good offense. And you know, if we catch, we ain't talking about the spectacular plays, the behind-the-back flip, the between-the-legs throw. You know, we're talking about the routine play, the ground balls, getting the outs, and doing all that stuff. We're going to be just fine, because we are going to score some runs, brother.
DeAndre, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
No, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. That is DeAndre Navarro of the Blue Jays. And Jays going for the sweep tonight. Josh Tolley, I expect to be behind the plate with R.A. Dickey pitching. And John Gibbons saying he doesn't know yet whether or not DeAndre will DH. Might give Moises Sierra a shot against the left-hander. But I think you heard from DeAndre Navarro. You can tell he's the type of guy who really cares about his pitchers.
He does, and like I said, he wasn't just focusing on the guys he knew was going to be on the big league roster. He made sure he knows Stroman well, Sanchez, guys that he might see throughout the course of the season. Here's a guy that really prepares, and that's a good thing to have behind the plate.
That's it for Baseball Central today. Kevin Barker will be in with me tomorrow. Joe will be on the road with the Jays, Baltimore, Minnesota, and Cleveland. I got some great restaurant recommendations in Minnesota. Underrated restaurant city. Thanks for doing this, Joe.
All right, guys.
For Joe Siddle, DeAndre Navarro, John Gibbons, this is Jeff Blair saying thanks for spending time with us today on Baseball Central, brought to you by Home Hardware. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the game tonight. Hockey Central's next. Take care.